Hey Planet Paul, welcome to another episode of the podcast. Today, we're going back to one of Paul's keynotes from PPM Live 2022. Paul talks about how to grow a company that actually makes money. Your staff needs to have their roles and pay grades clearly defined in order for both parties to be successful. This is just a sneak peek into what we will be talking about at PPM Live this October in Orlando. If you are fed up, money is drying out, and you have too much to lose at the hands of big insurance, or if you're just getting started in scaling a 100% cash PT practice, you need to be here. Go to ppmlive23.com to learn more and book your seat today. Enjoy the episode.
The premise has to be we move from emotion and theory and we're all working hard and we're all putting in lots of effort to a more of an idea of an outcome which suits everybody. If I can clearly define what the outcome is, then it's easier for me to manage the situation. Why does politics exist, right? You look at big corporate companies, you look at government-run businesses, if they're even that. But you look at any big organization, and certainly any big political organization, the term politics exists when there's a lack of clearly defined outcomes. So nobody can actually say what work is being done. Look at politics, right? Do any of you ever really know what anyone's done? On a serious note, does anybody ever know what anybody's done? Which is why it's always 51-49. Nobody ever knows what anybody's done. So politics, the drama, the emotion, the backstabbing, the heated debates exists because nobody can clearly define what anybody's done. If you take that into an environment, you show me one that's high drama, chaos, emotive, every conversation will lead something like, but I work really hard. But I work really hard. I put lots of effort into this business. I work really hard for this company. And what they're saying is I can't really define what I actually did. Because the goal, remember my first slide? My parents have raised me to be a good guy and work hard, right? So what you'll hear in an organization is, I've worked hard. But I didn't employ you to work hard. I would rather you work easy, just make me 20 grand. I live every day of my life looking for the easiest way to make the most money, have the most fun. I don't want to work hard to do that. Who says that I have to work hard to do this thing? Now, some instances I have to work hard, but there's no direct correlation between working hard and making money. And equally inside of an organization, what I don't really want is a bunch of employees who think that just because they work hard, that's all they have to do. Ultimately, we have to hit a target. We have to hit an outcome. Stuff has to happen that I can clearly measure. And at the end of the day, whatever way we dress it up, it all bubbles back up to this business is here to make money. Like, taxes exist because a business makes money. Like, that's it. In the UK, 97% of the people, 3% of small businesses, 10 are big. So let's say 85% of the people, the money that the government has to waste comes from the 15% of small businesses that generate it and give it to the rest of the country who are employed by the government. In the US, it's probably 20% of businesses produce the money to provide the taxes, give everybody else it, one way or the other. It's kind of how it works. So these private practices, like, they have to make money. You have to. We can't hide from it. It's healthcare, but we have to make money. There's no other, that we can do that with fun and we can do that with love and we can do that with great customer service. But ultimately, there's no point in being business if we can't do this thing. Unless you're loaded and you're just doing this thing for fun and shits and giggles and this is just the thing that you want to do, then great. But most people aren't. So ultimately, the metric, the litmus test is at the end of the day, did we do this or did we not? The closer that you can get to a pragmatic life, the better. Which, the way I see it right now, life is completely opposite. It's all just emotion and he said, she said, and whatever else, right? The minute we start deliberating facts, people don't like it. How close can we get your organization to deliberate facts of how much you made? So you must know the number. So we've invented this. It's called the good, better, best model. So most people are coming in CFO, around about 64% productivity. So good weekly revenue. So if you look at that column, if you're at 64%, what I'm going to try and do is try and get you to 75% to start with. How can I get you as close to 75% as is humanly possible? So the good weekly revenue would be $4,000. a good monthly revenue would be $18,000. A good yearly revenue, $217,000. But a better weekly revenue, $7,862. The better monthly, $30,794. But the best would be $9,250, $36,000, or yearly, $434,000. So when you look at all of that, again, your numbers are going to be different, right? This was just a screenshot I took from a clinic. The idea, the premise is, if you're at 64%, your weekly revenue is probably $3,800. So what I'm trying to do is move you through into good, into better, and into best. And then when a pay rise conversation comes along and I can say, you want $10,000? All right, here's what I'll do. I'll meet you halfway. I'll give you five. Thank you for everything you've done. But if you want the other five, I've got to get you in to good. How do you think we should do it? See the difference? We're in a world now where you can't really tell anybody what to do, right? So under the banner of leadership and management, just start asking questions. We've got a problem. What do you think we should do? You want a pay rise? Great. So do I. The problem is if I give you 10,000, I'm taking a pay cut. This isn't fair. For the employees in the room, just to let you know, that is the real-time conversation that's happening. You want 10, I have to take a 10 grand pay cut. So let's see if we can make this fair, because I've got inflation as well. If I give you 5, thanks for everything, great loyalty, well done, you're amazing, customers love you. But let's see if we can figure out the next 5 grand to be fair and equal and benefit us both. I'll work with you to see if we can get you into this. If you want 5, let's get you 75% productivity. And do you know what I'll do? If you want 15, let's get into 85. And do you know what I'll even do? If you want 25, let's get you to 95. So you came and asked me for 10. I've gone into a partnership with you, but I've shown you a path, a journey that we're all on that actually allows you to make more money. At that point, I'm going to find out who's on my payroll. I'm going to shit what happens next. Somebody doesn't like that, I hope they fucking leave, is my honest answer. That is a fair and equal way, I think and believe, of managing the current situation based upon facts, not emotion. Not my fault gas has gone up. Not my fault the interest rates have gone up. You can't walk into my office and just say, I need a pay rise because. Well, I need a fucking pay rise. Imagine if I rang all my customers and said, hey guys, just to let you know, my interest rate went up from 2% to 6% because the fucking government back in Britain, where my mortgage on my house back there is now about to go from 2 grand a month to about 4. Do you mind if I put my rates up? What are you going to say? I'd hope you'd tell me to fuck off. Because you would. So how do we get to a point in your office where everybody sees exactly where they are, exactly what they're providing for you, but crucially, much like we all need, said at the start of today, we all need to see a path of progress. Every one of us wants to see the path. Where am I headed? What's my progress going to look like? Great, here's what it's going to look like. I've done it with people in this room who are staring at me right now. I don't think you're ready for that right now, but here's what I need you to do. If you do it, bang. There's people I've given it to early, but I've clearly said, this is the path. This is what it needs to look like. And then there's equally people come to me going, I need this. I go, time to go. You're amazing. Time to go. I can't do it. It doesn't work. It will not work. You deserve it. You're worth it. But this role, nah. Can't do it. Copy the dental industry, fastest way to profitability. Spend more time on the highest spending activities. Have you noticed this is what the dentists do? Optimize your calendar marketing for the highest spending scope of service. I never hear an ad from my dentist for a checkup. It's always about an implant that costs about 10 grand. Here's what's really interesting. The more I thought of this. So dentists obviously charge more for a checkup. And this is going to challenge a little bit of your thinking, particularly the staff. You're either going to love me or hate me by the end of this. Dentists charge more for implants than fillings and more for fillings than a checkup. It's the same fucking dentist in the same chair. Same skills, same qualifications, same guy, same thing. Everything is the same. But for some reason, we tell ourselves in PT, oh, we can't do that. How do we justify it? But again, this person goes to the dentist every 6 months, sits in the same chair, and pays fucking 100 times more sometimes for the same dentist, for the same chair, for the same people, for the same things. What changes? The need. The need. It's valued on what it is worth to you. Why are you charging the same rate for everything you do? I'm just challenging. I might not have an answer for you, but I've got a question. When you get the question, we get progress. Colby said this morning, there's so many answers I haven't got. He said, scrap that. There's so many questions I haven't got. All of your progress is in questions. Why are you charging the same rate for everything you do? It's another self-imposed constraint. You ring the dentist, they always have a spot for you if you want an implant. Hey, can I get in, please? My tooth's really, really sore. I need a little bit of a checkup. Can you come in next March? March the 17th, how's that looking? The doctor's really busy. Yeah, I was just hoping to talk to him about an implant. Are you free today? They always have a space in the schedule for the highest, right? Some of you guys, insurance, different codes, different scopes. Your receptionist is probably saying no to certain people who'd be spending more money. My question is, does she even know? Does she even know? Give her a chance to be successful for you. They just think all patients are created equal. All appointments are created equal. It's not their job to understand that. It's yours. Some of you are going to make more money just by changing this simple process. Making sure that everybody who answers the phone understands what the highest billing, code, problem, thing, service is, and always having space in the calendar for it, in the same way that you all do with the dentist. Clearly defined pay grades. Bluntly, here we go. Everyone could hit a point where the money that they're asking for is more than what the role is worth. There's this imaginary thing in business that you're a bad leader if people leave you. Not true. Key point in this. Not they themselves. Let's make a distinction between them as a person. They are probably worth more money, but your role isn't. You show me an inefficient business, and I'll show you somebody that hasn't respected this rule, principle, fundamental of successful, profitable businesses. It's roles, not people. The role has a clearly defined pay grade. It's called the labor efficiency ratio. And a failure to adhere to it, number one reason, you will end up with a zero profit company. Here's how it looks. So let me talk you through this. So A, I'm an employee, I start with a business. The first probably 6 months, the company loses money on that new employee. They're not effective. I've got two new employees this weekend who are costing me a fortune. Not take this the right way. They started this week in anticipation of growth, right? I'm not making any money on them. None. I can't. There's nothing that they can do. They started Monday. There's nothing that they can really do. Again, take this the right way. They're helping out and they're being good eggs and they're doing some social media stuff and fantastic, right? That's what has to happen. And this is the natural process for any new employee that comes through the doors. The first 3 to 6 months, we're ramping up, right? We know this as an employee. We're making an investment. But in the first 3 to 6 months, we're not necessarily getting the return that we would like. But let's say 6 months, 6 to 12 months in, see what starts to happen. Both parties benefit now. So if pay is the blue line, and this pay keeps going up, this is what's going on. Can I have a 2 grand raise, 4 grand raise, 6 grand raise, 8 grand raise? That's what that means over a 5-year period, fine. But I think nobody's considering this thing. How effective? What's the return that I'm getting for that extra 5? If I'm just blindly giving it because I daren't lose you, I'm out of business in 3 years. The key, the trick, is how long can both of us stay in the B zone? That requires not just an increase in pay, an increase in skill, an increase in responsibility, possibly a movement in roles. Because what starts to happen if I'm not careful? Right at the end, the business starts losing money again. This is your businesses. There's a t-shirt out there that says, the truth will set you free, but will piss you off at first. This is happening in every business. This is a universal, fundamental cause of a train wreck of a business, that there's no attention paid to this fact. I cannot keep giving if I don't get this from you. I'm better off going back to the start and going back on the journey again. So the first 3 to 6 months, it's inefficient, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. That's what we all have to do. Very few people can come in and you're going to get the 1 to 2 return that you would like from it. But if we've got the onboarding right, 3, 6, 9 months in, I'm now getting a reasonable return, and we've got fairness going on now. You do this for me, I get this back. If I can keep and stay in the B zone, which is why the employee needs to understand, they have to contribute skills, responsibilities, things that they're going to do in exchange for that money. Otherwise, what do? We end up here. We end up in a situation, right? Potentially, I'm bashing governments again, but in a government-run organization, it would not be uncommon to find the janitor, not saying there's anything wrong with that, who's on more money than one of the managers of a division who's just started. Because they've been there for 30 years, and all that happened was more money, more money, more money, more money, more money, right? So that blue line kept going up, but they entered the C zone probably 15 years ago. Meanwhile, I've got a manager of a division who's on less money managing 5 people for effectiveness, and I can't afford to pay better ones. I've got a problem with my management team who are not managing the 5 people beneath them effectively, but I'm constrained. The constraint in the business is because I can't afford to buy a good manager. Why is that? It's just the person who's been here for 35 years, he's got all the money. There's a reason that the government is bankrupt, please, ladies and gentlemen. There's a reason that all of these publicly funded companies are bankrupt. It's the same in Britain. Every single thing, the fire brigade, bankrupt. Pensions, bankrupt. National health, bankrupt. Government, bankrupt. 85% of the country work for the government in some way, shape or form in England. Probably 75, 80 here. Some way, shape or form, the money's trickling down from the taxes at the 25. If we run our businesses like the government, we too would be what? Bankrupt. Open your eyes. There's politics in all of these organizations, no clearly defined outcomes. You get the long service award. It's a loyalty, which fine, there's a need for that. There's a need for thank you. You just deserve it. But I have to be really careful. If I've got 15 people in the C zone, I'm not going to make any money. The phrase I was taught a few years ago, have faith in the things you can see, not just in the things that you can't see. Open up. I can see that this is not working in these businesses. I can't give long service awards. I can say, here, if you want to hang around as the janitor, you need to be the manager, the person running the whole team. That's how you get your reward. And making sure that I'm getting more of effectiveness out of these people. Or I can put you in this role, or this role. That's how you're going to have to run your business.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @ThePaulGough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.